just graciousness. It's just awesome. So thank you, everyone who cooked. And I just want everyone to realize that we have an opportunity today, as we do every day, to take communion. I personally have started taking communion on a more regular basis, at least once a day, if not twice a day. And I know it sounds like, well, that's excessive. Well, I'm not doing it out of tradition. I'm doing it out of faith. And I'm believing that as I take communion, that the oneness that God promises in His Word, that He'll abide in me and I in Him, is manifested in a greater way. I want all that God has for me. I want everything that He has for me. So today I want to encourage you that if you get an opportunity to come up during worship and just take communion, doesn't have to take, you know, a pastor to pray over it or a priest to bless it, because you are a saint of God. And when you come before the Lord with a humble heart and a grateful heart, you can receive the full life that's in communion. So I want us to stand, and for those of you who can, and I want us to prepare our hearts. I want us to just not start. I want us to take a moment and prepare our hearts. Say, well, Pastor, how do you prepare your heart? You prepare your heart by starting to set your affections above. If you need to, close your eyes and just start thinking of Jesus and His love for you. Just start thinking of His amazing sacrifice of the cross and the work of the cross, His blood that was shed for you, those stripes that He took for you. Think of the love of the Father that He would give His only Son for you, just like He came down and He hugged you personally, just like He's given Himself totally to you in a way that He chooses to live inside of you. Just think of that for a moment. And out of that revelation of truth, not just out of the words that are on the screen, but out of that revelation of truth of what God has done for you, the good things, His grace and His mercy, His love, that you're going to worship Him back. You're going to thank Him for the air that's in your lungs. You're going to thank Him for the ability to stand up right now and to serve Him and to be loved by Him. You're just going to return to Him for a little bit, a portion of praise and worship. We thank You today, Lord. We honor You today, Lord. We honor, Lord, Your work, Lord, that You did for us on the cross. We thank You, Lord, that we have salvation. We thank You, Lord, that we have newness of life. We thank You, Lord, that we are Your children. We've been blood-bought, Lord, by You, and that we are Your prized purchased possession. And we receive right now, Lord, the full grace of Calvary into our lives. And we give to You, Lord, this time. This time as an offering, Lord. This time as a small token, God, of what You truly have done for us. In Jesus' name.
We'll never stop, can't live without You, Jesus. We love You, we can't get enough. All this is for You, Jesus. Jesus. I know Your life, it came to fix my broken life. So I sing to glorify Your holy name, Jesus Christ. Fire for them, fire for them, on us we pray. As we seek your face, your fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray. Oh. 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 'Cause I know you're alive, you came to fix my broken life, and I sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. Fire fall, fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. Fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. As we seek your face, fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. Fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. That you're alive, you came to fix my broken life, and I sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. Fire fall down, fire your face, your fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we generation breaking through despair. I hear a generation full of faith declare, and our song it will be, out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He is faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom, he is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love, peace and light. Yeah. I have seen a light like the break of dawn, giving blind men sight, letting lame men walk. I see a generation with resurrection life. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ, and our song it will be out of the darkness. We will rise and sing. He is faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom, he is healing right now. He is hope and joy. Proclaim our love for him. Oh. And proclaim our love for him.
Proclaim your love for him this morning.
I love you. and he is Jesus, and all my hope is in him. He is freedom, he is healing right now, he is hope and joy, love, peace, and life. Thank you. Thank you, God. You're alive. You came to fix my broken life. So I sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. Fire. fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your
chain, break every chain,
break every chain.
To break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
You're the all sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. You're the all-sufficient sacrifice, so free. just call upon the name of Jesus. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every
every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Last week, because my husband and I attended a marriage enhancement seminar through the military that was provided for us, and there was one of those tools that said slide or decide. There's an expression that I grew up with saying that you're backslidden, you're a backslider if you're, you know, falling back into sin, and it's easy to slide, right? How many children have been on a slide? It's easy to just slide, and it's hard to decide. To decide to not slide, to decide to wake up every morning and choose to follow Christ no matter what your situation in your life is. To decide to love the spouse that the Lord has given you no matter what you're going through. To decide to love your children and love your parents no matter what the Lord has put you in with them. Because if you slide, it's slippery and you just keep going down and it's hard to grab onto something. I fell in the Yakima River one time when I first came to Washington, and I thought, oh, I'll grab the rocks to hang on, right? Yeah, no go. No, and I was 6 months pregnant, and I couldn't hang on to the rocks, and I kept floating right on down. And so I can tell you that when you decide, you stand on the Word of God, and you stand on the name of Christ, and you stand on the decision that you make to follow Him and call on His name, even when it's the hardest thing in your life to do. We are so full of pride that we can do it ourselves. Even when we're sliding backwards, we'll still come back. But that's not true. We need to decide, not slide.
Okay, so earlier this week, the Lord gave me a vision, and it was a little bit of a longer one, but it was pretty cool. And it started out, I was out like in a meadow, and I was totally exposed. Like, there's forest around it, and you can hear the lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. And it was super scary being out there, and then Jesus walked up and through there, like not a word said, and then just grabbed my hand and pulled me up, and then we walked up to the side of the mountain, and then he picked me up and he climbed up it a little bit, and then said, I'm going to teach you how to climb. And the first thing I did was try to run up it and show him that I could do it. And I tripped and fell and was tumbling like down the side of the mountain. And then he caught me and said, you're going in my speed. So he set me down and slowly taught me how to walk up the mountain. And then we got up there a little further and it started to even out a little bit. So we're like walking normally. And then here comes this big grizzly bear. And it was snarling and angry. And then Jesus motioned for it to come forward. And I'm looking at him like, what the heck are you doing? Let's get away from this thing. It's scary. And it came forward, and it's still snarling. And he started petting it, and it calmed down a little bit. And he told me to do the same thing. And again, I'm like, what? And that's a bear. It's going to eat you. So I pet it a little bit. And then he's like, no, give it a hug. It's like, okay. So I gave it a hug, and it was kind of like hugging a big stinky dog, and it calmed down. And he was telling me, sometimes I don't take away your fear. I put you through it, so it's no longer a fear. Instead of taking it away, you overcome it. And then we walked a little further, and the trees got really thick. So we were walking hand in hand, and instead, he had me, when we came to the trees, I just let go, because logically, you can't do that. And so we're walking a little ways, and then I was really tired, and I wanted to stop. And he said, will you let go of my hand? I was like, well, look, I had to. He said, no, hold on to my hand and just believe. So we walked through, and then, like, literally our hands just went through the tree trunks. It didn't matter. He said, nothing can ever separate us, no matter what it looks like. And then we're getting up to the top of the mountainside, and there's this creek coming down the side of it. And I looked at him like, can I take a drink of it? We've been climbing a while. I'm really thirsty. And he said, yes, it is. It's the pure spring, like no man has ever touched it, and you need to drink from it, from me the same way you drink from that. And then finally we got to the top of it, and we're overlooking everything. And I was looking at the sun thinking, okay, it's like 3 o'clock, probably should get out of here before it gets dark. I don't want to meet Mr. Bear again. So I started walking down the mountainside, and Jesus is just standing up there, and he said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going home. He said, well, where your heart is where your home is. I said, wait, what? He said, is your heart in that building that you live in, or is it in me? So I turned around and walked back up, and he said, stay, let's build a fire, and we'll, and the light will shine, and it will call others to come forward for a light and warmth. And because I've led you through this, you are going to lead others through it. And then you're going to bring up, and it'll make its own city on a hill. And I don't think that was just for me. I think that was for all of us, because Christ can do that through every single one of us. And it's just a domino effect, and it just multiplies out.
So as I'm sitting in my chair with my knee prop, my husband brought me communion this morning, and I remember at the Women's Transformed how I said that communion has been a really hard topic for me to understand as a Christian. I've always had a difficult time appropriating its realness, if that makes any sense to anybody. And as I'm sitting here taking communion, the Lord reminds me how I remember back when I was just graduating high school, and that was a long time ago, how the first test tube baby was born. Now, some kids may have never even heard of that term, but there was actually a baby that was actually formed in a test tube, put together by scientists, and they formed a baby. And then how they... Then later on, you heard about the cloning of the sheep and how all of us are like, you know, what will they think of next? You know, all of the weird things that science has actually done. But can I just say, the true scientist, the true inventor of all these things is God? Like, it's kind of weird to have a test tube baby and a cloned sheep, but God, in his infinite wisdom, created communion for us to really be able to appropriate for us. Does that make sense? And then we're singing about love, and we're singing about you know, how it's just saying his name, Jesus Christ, how powerful that is, and all of the songs that we've sang about his power, and there's power in the name of Jesus and in his blood and all that. But it's easier for us to believe about a test tube baby and a cloned sheep than it is for us to believe about the appropriation of communion and what the cross did and provided for us. Why is that? You guys, he went to a significant amount of effort to capture not just our attention, to stimulate not just our minds and our logical thinking, but to capture, to grasp, to hold on to our hearts. He went to a significant amount of trouble to capture us, to make our minds be like, wow, like, God, you are just crazy awesome. Yeah. And so this scripture, I normally don't read out of this one version, but there's one word in this version that I love, and if you want to look it up in other versions, you can, and it's just as powerful, but it's in the Message, and it's Ephesians 5:2, and it says, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loves us, or loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. Amen. Extravagant. You guys, that's like... over the top, you know, fill my cup to overflow, like we were singing. It's like more than you can imagine, beyond what you could think, more than you've ever experienced. It is huge. Right. And he's gone to a significant amount of trouble to make this love so extravagant that it would be like, you're going to have to believe it to see it. Instead of see it to believe it, we're going to have to believe it to see it. And that is what Melissa was talking about, the fear of, like, you know, oh, what are people going to say about me? Or, oh, what am I going to, you know, how's that all going to work? And then what Vicky said about slide or decide, you guys, it's a choice. Being a Christian and being called to this particular time in life, he picked you for now.
Yeah.
He, you know, some people say, oh, I should have been born in that era. I love, like, you know, the 1920s and the flappers and all that stuff. You know, the dress, the stuff. I should have been born. No. He planned for you to be born now. His plan was to use you now. Not at some other time. Not in some other way. He planned this. Is his love extravagant for you? Or are you just taking just enough of his love to say, ooh, I love Jesus? Or are you just ridiculous? Now, a lot of us in this room have been in love before, or we thought we were. And you guys remember how you could hardly eat, hardly sleep, hardly do anything because all you could do about was think about that person, right? Have you ever done that with Jesus? Ouch. I'm not kidding. Have you ever, ever done that with Jesus? To where you could hardly eat, hardly sleep, you just needed him so badly? Has your love for him been as extravagant as his love for you? As you can tell, I've had a lot of time to think this week with my leg propped up in the air. But let me just say something. God, in his plan, drew us to today, called us to today. It's not by accident you're sitting here. It's not a joke that you're sitting here. It's not a biding time that you're sitting here. It was planned. You have people in your sphere of influence I could never touch. Jason, son, there's a call of God so strong on your life. There are people in your life I will never know or I will never meet. But son, you are in there. You're in their area. And God has called you for this time to speak into their hearts, to show them, not to say to them, but to show them Jesus. He will be the strength you need, son. He will be the one that will help you do that. Do not do it on your own strength. You can't. None of us can. But son, he's got your back. He has your back and you know it. This is a huge day personally for each one of us. Huge day. And I just want to say, if your worship has not been extravagant, if your love has not been extravagant toward him who has extravagantly given all of himself, one drop of his blood would have been enough to save this whole world, and he gave it all. How much you given? How much are you given? Honestly. I know that's hard, but let me just say, you guys, he makes it so easy. It's really so simple. So simple. It really is. And you know that scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, not some, but all those other things will be added to you. If you're worried about what the husband or the wife is thinking or the kids are thinking or what's going to be about my life tomorrow or what about what I've done in the past, all things. He's going to add and take care of all the other stuff. Seek him first. He's the real deal. Not some test tube baby and not some cloned up sheep. He's the real deal. It's easier for me today to believe about him than just put my trust on cloned sheep and test tube babies.
About really just being practical, believing, not just believing in your head, but in your heart, making that switch of being a head Christian to a heart Christian. And I know for me, that's been a tough journey. because I've been a head Christian for a long time. Loving God and wanting to serve Him, but intimacy and receiving His extravagant love, struggled with that. Lord, we call upon Your name this morning. We call upon Your name, Jesus. The name that's above every other name. The name that is above even apathy. The name that's above hesitation. The name that's above fear. The name that's above sliding. Lord, we decide today, Lord, to just take refuge in Your name. To go into Your name, Lord. Not just to call on Your name, Lord, but to become one, Lord, with that name. To identify, Lord, with that name. And the power that that name brings. I just thank You, Jesus, for this day. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in lives right now. Hearts that You're touching in such a significant way here today, Lord. That even we can't even tell on the surface, Lord, what You're doing deep inside. The ones that are being touched can't even really realize, Lord, the depths that You're touching them right now. We just release Your full work, Lord, here today. Lord, we just release Your will to be done the rest of this time together. I just thank You for my family, Lord. I thank You for their hearts. Thank You for their passion. I just pray, God, You continue to bless them. Encourage them. Let Your glory shine upon them. Let Your power, Lord, be fully evident in their lives, Lord. And bring them to a place, God, of full maturity as sons and daughters of God. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Do you have something? Well, praise the Lord. Well, today we're not going to be having a children's church. Just want to let you know about that. So if you do have kids here, just know that they'll receive. Just believe that even though it may be too much for their intellect, they can still receive with their hearts. So at this time, I'm going to have Pastor Josh come on up.
I'm exciting to be here today. It's really hot. Good. I'm exciting to see you guys. Are you guys nervous? Some of you look a little nervous. I just want you to relax. I'm the one who should be nervous. But I'm not. Okay? You know why? Because I'm exciting. That's actually not why. No, but that is a darn good answer. No, because Jesus makes it so simple. I don't have to be nervous. Yeah. If I get up here and try to do something outside of what I'm supposed to do, or if I listen to the lies of the enemy, I can be nervous, but I don't have to be. Matter of fact, I started to get nervous when I was sitting right there. And what I did is, because Jesus made it so simple, I slayed that giant I did. I slayed that giant, and I can get up here right now, and I can communicate to you guys as I feel the Lord leads me to communicate to you. So, and I don't know how much detail I want to give you, but when I say I slayed a giant, I slayed a giant. I slayed a giant that wanted to stop me from sharing some of the things of God that are to be released today. So I don't need to give in to that, and here I am. Exciting to see you guys. Okay? All right. So, how can it be so simple? I wish I could sing like that. I'd do it right now. How can it be so simple? No. No, I will protect your eardrums. I cherish you that much. My love is for you. And the sensitive parts of your body. Let's pray. All right, so Lord, we certainly are thankful to be here, more thankful that you're here and that you have prepared a way. God, that you are in charge. Lord, that you have wonderful, awesome, glorious plans for each one of us, not just here in this moment, but for the life of us, and not just for our life, but for eternity, that your thoughts about us, your plans for us, who you've made us to be, are incredible and exciting. So we choose to walk in that today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, give you permission rather to speak, and that we would hear. And not just hear, but that we would walk in it, that we would activate what we hear, that we would not just be in the stands, so to speak, but that we would be active sons and daughters. So release your word here today, as you already have, excuse me, and as you will continue to, God, very thankful to call you daddy and to be called your children. If you agree with that, please say amen. Amen. Thank you. One amen. All right. Well, hey. Tomato, tomato. So how can it be so simple? So in John 1, it describes Jesus Christ as the Word. Let me just read a little bit of it. John 1, somewhere here in the Bible. Boom, right there. The eternal Word. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay, Jesus is the Word. Excuse me, I don't know why, but my throat decided to start getting all itchy when I got up here, but throat, you're not allowed to be itchy anymore. In Jesus' name. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We could do this all day. There's power in the name of Jesus. 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 I'm serious. There's power in the name of Jesus. Do you hear that? That's exciting. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. It's true. Jesus. So Jesus is the Word. In John 10, Jesus is the gate. And just to read, Just to whatever, I'm going to read it to you. It says, Ooh, there's a good part too. Holy moly. Yeah, he's a gate. And then it says, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. Listen to this. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This command I've received from my Father. So the one thing Satan wants us to believe is that Jesus died and didn't rise again, and that his power was taken and he was killed and all that. Jesus laid down his life. Remember that. He laid down his life and he took it up again. He laid it down and he took it up, as was commanded by his Father. Jesus is the gate. He says, I'm the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Not pastor. Pastor. Am I saying that? I don't want to go there. That's right. Pastor. You, if, whatever. Say it. Pasture. Louis Pasteur. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Thank you. It's true. All right, so then, I don't know. Lord, what are we saying here? So, as Pastor Mike said towards the end of worship, that there's a difference between being a head Christian and a heart Christian, right? You can have the knowledge of the word, and if you stop there, that's all it is, information. Right? You can know things, and then as Vicky talked about, you can be puffed up, and it can get in your way and create pride. I believe that was you, yes? Pride? You're like, I don't know. That's awful. Sure. I heard it. I heard it. So, if not, that's what I received, yeah. Which just flows right into the point that I believe that is being made today, and that is there's a difference. We can know things, and we can know about things, or even people. Obviously, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we can allow it just to sit there, and that's fine, and we go along, and we do what we feel is right, and we make decisions based on what we know, et cetera, et cetera. Or we can know him, and we can take what we know and let that be the door or the gateway into the experience. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what I said. Buy the MP3. It's free, but you can, whatever. All right, so we have knowing, and we have, so we can take what we know, and for example, well, I think this is a pretty reasonable example, going to college. How many times have people you know of, or you have, gone to college and studied a certain something just to find yourself in a completely different field with a career? I mean, I've heard of that often, actually. And they go all this time, so they know all this stuff, but now they're over here, and, you know, not to say they won't use that information, but we can know about God and honestly not really experience him. And so again, I believe something close to what I said or what was said was that we need to take what we know and walk through that door, you know, Jesus, and to experience and turn, take what we know, use the doorway of Christ to experience that stuff, to him rather, not that stuff, to experience him, because he is the living word. And if we read and we know that he is the word, then we know that in Hebrews 4, it says that is alive and powerful and active. But it's only because of him, the person of Jesus Christ, the Word, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, because you can read the Bible all day long and fall asleep. I've done it twice last night, about a million times. But we can take the Word and we can read it and, oh, you know, yeah, and I don't get it. And then we can come back or we can say, okay, Lord, what's going on here? And invite him to show us and open up our hearts and reveal stuff to us. And boom, it comes alive. And all of a sudden you're going, whoa. Last night I was doing that on the couch. We were watching a movie and I was reading something and I probably have read it, you know, we've heard this a dozen times at least. And boom, I was like, I got up off the couch and Michelle's looking at me like, what's going on? Because we're in the middle of a movie. Am I talking too fast? Because I'm getting excited. Okay. Yes, I'm excited. And I go to the room to get my notepad. Because I got excited about something that I saw and I read, and I wanted to write it down and capture it, and that's good. But truth be told, now that I think about it, I never actually got my notepad. That's okay, though, because number one, I ain't the only one. But number two, it's in my heart, and although I do believe in writing things down, for some reason I didn't go do that. I don't know. I think she wanted me to get her a banana or something. Oh, no, I take the blame, but I think that's what happened. Squirrel. But at any rate, you're exciting. I love it when you dance, okay? And you, young lady, I love it when you flag. And when I see that stuff, either I want to go be next to you and start grooving, or I want to hide somewhere and be like, what are they doing? And so I chose to step into that and try to get my body kind of moving, you know? Because, yeah, to not just, and this isn't, you know, don't try to read in between the lines, because that won't get you anywhere. That's your own knowledge and that's your own understanding, and you'll fall short. But what I am saying is that I enjoy that, and I would enjoy being able to be more free in those areas. And I, you know, so my point is that I love it and it's good, and God bless you guys, and don't be surprised if I start bumping into you on accident. So why not, man? Why shouldn't we be free in every way? And so, to take what we know about God and to put it into practice is really the key element. And there's a big shift going on. I don't know. I know right here in this place, there's a big shift going on that God is pushing us, and he's opening these doors that maybe have been open. I don't know. Just right now, I and a lot of other people apparently are starting to catch on and notice. And it's the Word, and it's taking scriptures like, you know, come up here or come up higher, taking scriptures like he lays me beside, you know, still waters and green meadows, taking scriptures like, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you open it, I'll come in and dine with you and you with me, and taking those kinds of scriptures and not just reading them and it being like, oh, that's, you know, okay, that's good, but allowing my heart and my mind to expand, to begin to walk, to begin to imagine these things, to begin to take them to what I refer to as another level, another dimension, making it real in my heart. Because as it said, and some of you have heard me say this quite a bit, lucky for you, I won't stop. You take something like the scripture where Jesus, he goes, you know, you say, but I say. So he goes, okay, it said, but here's what I say. And people just were like, what? And they wanted to kill him and all that. But he would say, okay, it says that if you murder somebody, you're a murderer. Okay, whatever. But now I'm going to tell you that if you hate somebody in your heart, if you hate somebody, you're a murderer at heart. So how does that equation work? So before you had to do it, and then it was done, and blah, 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 guilty, pay the price, whatever, run from the law, and then eventually get caught and all that stuff. Or now he's saying if it happens in here somewhere, then it's the same. There's no separation, right? So now you hate somebody, and you're a murderer at heart. By God's definition, because he says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Excuse me. You notice my throat cleared up? Because I did. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, there's power in the name of Jesus. Don't get me going. But so as we think in our heart, we are. So if I just got to hate somebody and I'm a murderer, then that means what I'm doing is I'm taking the thoughts and I'm basically focusing on them to the point where they're becoming a substance, a reality, something in my heart that I grab a hold of. So I now am taking it to a whole nother level. And the truth is that it's a matter of time before what's in my heart comes out. Word. We already know the thoughts there. So in word, and then in deed, in action. So if I hold a grudge against somebody, hate's a very strong word, but if I hold a grudge against somebody, and I put them in a certain position in my heart that really would be under me, okay, if there's positions, this would be under me because I'm hurt and they don't deserve or whatever the case may be, well, then the way I talk to them, I know we all have experienced this where sometimes you'll make decisions based on that thinking, based on that person or whatever it may be. Like you won't go here because they're going to be there. Or you won't do this because you don't want them to this. Or you begin to act out of that. Yeah. So it becomes real. So what's the difference? So it's real. He's saying then all of a sudden you brought it to life. You've made it real in your heart. Well, same thing with adultery and everything else. And it applies. Above all else, above everything else, you better guard your heart, he says. Because that's where it's at. That's the center of the Tootsie Pop. You know what I'm talking about? All right. That's it. It's soft and chewy and sensitive and good tasting and... But you want to guard it. And so what is the difference then in that scripture, that principle, and then me taking a scripture, something the Lord shows me, and doing the same thing? So the Revelation 3, the Revelation 4, the Psalm 23, you take it. You know, okay, the Psalm 23 is a great example. It's what I've been reading and texting out to anybody who's on my scripture text list. That's where we're at right now. And it's a great example because it says he lays me beside still waters. No, something like that. I got it right here. But the point is that it's really good. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And so something like that I would take. And if you want to draw meaning out, if you want to know that, that's good. You know that. You know that he can this or will that. You know that. That's good, right? But again, it's like if I'm going to spend 4 years in college just to know something and not put it into action, I just waste a lot of money or a lot of my parents' money or whatever the case is, the government's money, I don't know. But same applies here. It's the relationship. You see, it is the relationship that Jesus Christ, when he laid down his life willingly and he picked it back up, it was the relationship that he laid down and he picked it back up. He extended to us what he already had so that we could have. That's what he did. So he didn't just die and come alive and woohoo. And I mean, he did, but in more depth as he reveals it is he has a relationship with God. He had one in a way that very few people on earth had at that time. And what he did is he laid that down and I guess, if you will, became us, whatever. And out of his relationship that he had, he joyfully, you know, it says that the joy was set, he did it for the joy that was set before him. So for us, he extended, laid down his life, extended his relationship with his Father so that we could walk in that same thing. So then when I see these scriptures, it says, you know, to lay down in green pastures and lead beside still waters. I can know that, or I can then begin to imagine that. Now, as it was pointed out, I don't want imagine or imagination to be confused with pretending. Although you can, if you need to use that, you can, because I guess in the beginning phase, you could call it that. But imagine me, 2006, and I'm just a few months saved. I'm a little baby Christian. I guess I still kind of am, but littler, babier then. And I come to this church, and God just pulls my card, you know. He's like, here I am. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm crying. I'm loving him. I'm throwing all my, well, 2005 I got saved. So throwing all my, you know, all everything old me, I'm just tossing it aside. And by his grace, just walked through that door and said, here I am. And then I feel like this strong urge, this call to be in the ministry, you know, in this thing called church as a whatever, you know, a pastor or whatever, had a great desire. So, and you can attest to this, and so can she and some others in here, that there's a certain key that is required to get into certain doors in this building, and it's called a number one key, okay? Number one key. Yeah, I know. But get this. And you can ask him and her and others, and I says, I'm getting a number one key. I said it. I said, I'm getting a number one key. And there was another pastor that was here a few years ago, and he would tell me, basically, he'd kind of laugh, and I don't know how much he was joking or not, but he'd basically tell me, no, I wasn't. And I told him, okay, we'll see. I did. I'm not joking, and I was dead serious because I knew that number one key, it gave me something that I wanted. You know what it took, though? In that first step of that, the first process, I had to imagine what it was like. I had to have a picture of it in my heart, in my mind. I have to have something to want to go after in order to get there to get it, to have it. And so what I did is I imagined, again, for the sake of definition, I did not pretend. Maybe some days I did. I was like, oh, hey, my number one. Oh, the door must be broke today. Okay, I'll come back another day. And I come back with my house key. Oh, number one. Oh, darn it. They didn't change the lock yet, you know. So I might have pretended, but I don't want to confuse the two. I don't really want them to bleed over, because I did imagine. I mean, I heard another, David and Tanya shared a story with me about, or us about, a lady that, you know, wanted this certain Jeep. Liberty. Anybody in here own a Jeep Liberty? Anybody ever owned a Jeep Liberty? Whew. Don't, they're ugly cars. Do not buy them. I was like, why on earth would she imagine a Jeep Liberty? What is wrong with this woman? But that's just because I don't like Jeep Liberty. So that doesn't mean they're bad. I just wanted to say that, because if you own one, I'm just having fun. I don't. Oh, for you listening online, I don't like Jeep Liberties, but it's okay. It doesn't say anything about you. It just says I. So forgive me. Do not be offended. I just couldn't figure out why on earth that's what she wanted. But I do at the same time understand that that's what she wanted. And so she would had a picture of this Jeep Liberty, and we'll just call it a vehicle. If it was, for me, a Lamborghini, okay? So I have a picture of a Lamborghini, and I did. I went to Vegas earlier this year, and I drove one, and I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. And I was just, I'm like, oh. But she wanted this certain car. We'll call it a certain car, okay? And she got it. It didn't take too long, right? I don't know how long. A few months? Yeah, and she got it. And she somehow had to imagine. She somehow had to have an idea of what she was after and be able to visualize it, whether it be close your eyes and it's like a TV screen and you can see it, or whether it be a somewhere in your understanding and your heart that you're able to, you just, it's there and you want it. And the point of all of this is that we have to actually use our imagination. The scripture tells us very clearly that if we're going to come to Jesus, we're going to come as a what?
Child.
Everybody sing child for all you internet listeners. As a what?
Child.
We have to come as a child. We've got to come. We've got to lay everything aside and go for it. We've got to picture what we want. I love it. I'll be honest. I see my kids, even my daughter who looks to have left the room. Nurse, well, she was back there, but even her, she'll do it. She'll play and have fun. She's 12, but she's like tall as me, so it's like 12? You know, people look at her like, oh, hi, what are you? What, college or, you know, seventh grade? She's super tall, but she, so it's kind of funny to see her playing around and having fun because of her size, but I love it. I love it that they can sit there and do cars and goof off with each other and just do things that, you know, honestly, we've been kind of trained to get away from, to that fun side of us, that part of us that is unlimited, you know? It takes off the limitations. And really, if I just summed it all up today, that's where I'm going. I don't know that I'm summing it up right now, but that's where I'm going is we have an imagination, a part of us that is connected to God that needs to be fed and used and under, of course, through the doorway of Jesus Christ, just to be clear in case I have to, that's through the doorway of Jesus Christ, the gateway, and no other way. It says any other way is a thief or a robber. And we're not thieves and robbers, and that's not our hearts. We don't gather here to, you know, every Sunday and Wednesdays and hang out with each other and do all that we do in the name of Christ to be thieves or robbers. That's not us. That's not who we are. So we come into this new day as sons and daughters that are hungry for more than just an understanding of Scripture, right? I've done that. You've said, Pastor Mike, that you've understood Scripture for a very long time, and that not that you haven't had times where you've literally, you know, walked with Jesus, and none of that, but it's a new day, and it's a day where we can literally walk with Jesus. So if there's a scripture, and just to be clear, the scripture is the beginning of the door. That he's the door. It's the beginning. So you see, like, well, you know, I had this experience or this whatever, but it's just not in the Bible. And I just, you know, you hear somebody else's experience. But because you can't find it in the Bible, you want to shut it down. You know, there's some weirdos out there. I'm one of them. So my heart's not to lead anybody astray, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible's the beginning. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is the gate, and the gate is the beginning. So you walk through, you know, you walk through the church. You don't just stand in the doorway. You don't just get to know the door. You walk through the doorway. You come in here, and you experience everything on a Sunday morning or everything on a whatever day for whatever you come. You come in fully, right? That's good. You come in fully. It is good. I'm not saying I'm good. I'm saying it's good because it is. It's the Lord. I'm not a dummy. It's God. I know it's good. You come in and you experience everything that he has for you. But you don't just hang out at the door. That would be foolishness. You might as well get in your vehicle and go all the way back to where you came from, because you can do that anywhere. But you come in and you hang out and you enjoy and you fellowship and you laugh and you cry and you love and all the things that you experience. But you don't stop at the door. How many times do we stop at the door? Thank you, Lord. You are so good. How many times? And you get a word and you're like, oh, Tanya and I were talking about this. Well, really, she was. I was just listening. I'm just joking. We were. It's like 3 months ago. And sorry if I'm baptizing y'all. But we were talking about it and the idea, and you said it or I did, and we were like, oh, I totally agree. I've done it. Where it's like you get a great word and then you stop. You're like, oh, that's awesome. And you just like, you get exciting and you do whatever you do, but you don't go deeper, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I've done that so many times, jump and run around. Oh, my gosh, yay. But then that's it. And it's not meant to be it. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the gate. And again, or a door. The door is the beginning. So I'm telling you, as God's telling me, that we need to go deeper. Not just to say, I'm not just saying go deeper, and it's, I'm going to go deeper. But literally, we need to take the word, the gate, the door, and walk through. And I'm not just talking salvation, because we all understand that we accept Christ because he's already accepted us, and we walk through that door. But I'm saying that we walk through the door, and we keep walking. And we use our relationship with Christ when things come along that we don't entirely understand. Some experiences, whatnot, we don't try to figure it all out. But we understand that our relationship with him is our foundation. It is what sustains us. So if I, which I've shared this with others, if I do something like go to a door in my house, and I take the scripture from Revelation that talks about, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. Anybody hears me, opens it, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. No, I take that and I turn my imagination on. Instead of just reading it and just kind of, okay, that's good scripture, not really ever getting into the substance of what really is available. I'm going to study it, don't get me wrong. I want to know original text. I want to have a feel for all that. That's important. But I want to go past that. And I've stood, I'll be very clear. I've learned this from others and others that have done similar things and have either through writings or personally encouraged me to do some of this stuff. And I'm okay with that because I see that it's the real deal, that Jesus is just waiting, that we don't have to just know him. It's not like my 1989 Jordan poster and card collections. I know every stat and all that, but I don't really know Jordan. I'm okay with that. I don't need to know him. The card I have of his is worth so much money, I don't need to know nothing about him. I don't need to know him. I got half of his, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't care. I got money. No, I'm playing. Okay, that's total nut. But let me get back on track. Sorry. Sometimes that's where I know, Lord. I'm sorry. Grief is good. That grief was really good. However, I want to go deeper. And I want us as a family, as brothers and sisters, go deeper. I sit at a door and I close my eyes and I don't care. It might seem goofy. Good. Have a good laugh because it's real. And I'll feel the door and picture it and knock. And, at first I'm kind of worried like, my family, they're going to think I'm cuckoo. Well, that's not true. They know that. But they would like be able to prove it. And I'm like, you're not catching me on this one. You can know it, but you can think it, but I'm not giving you evidence. So I would wait till everybody's asleep. And And this is real. This is honest. And I would take the elements of that scripture and begin to give them a substance in my heart. Just like, you know, the other side of the coin, the murder, the adultery, like all that kind of stuff that we understand, that our heart has the ability, the way we're designed, to take something and make it come to life. Make it real. And sometimes that's not to our benefit because we take things that, you know, are not good or not real and we make it real and then we run with it and it creates chaos and problems. And that's not God. He did not design us to work in that manner. But to take this scripture and others like it and to begin to experience Jesus through this. And it does take faith. It does. Like I said, you know, I mean, at first I'm going, okay, am I losing it here? And God's like, yes, you are. Thank you, son. Thank you. Thank you for losing it. Thank you for trusting me. And turning these words and by revelation into a reality. So that, because, you know, I don't know. We can talk all day long. You know, Jesus is needed everywhere. And we do carry him within us. And we can say good things all day long, nice things, and help people out. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But in this day and age, it's time to display the glorious power of our King. In this day and age, it's time to not just have words to say, but to take that river of living water that flows within us if we choose to allow it. I mean, it's there. Do we acknowledge that out of us flows rivers of living water? Do we prime that pump, if you will? Do we purpose to allow God, Jesus, Holy Spirit to radiate out of us? Do we do that? Because there is, including us, a world that is desperate for the reality of God. There's a world that is desperate for the substance of Jesus Christ, not just good words. Right? I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And I don't want to just, I mean, it's okay. We can know our word. We're supposed to know our word. That's for sure. But we have to be able to take out of our experience. And if you don't have any, that's okay. Guess what? Today's a good day. It's okay. Today's a good day to start. It's okay. Get by yourself and shut out the world for a moment's time. And purpose to take some scripture, Psalm 23, Revelation. Go home and do this. And Revelation 3 and others that you see that you've just read before and put some substance to it. Open yourself up to allow Jesus to walk in a room and mess you up. Well, that's not in the Bible or that. Well, where do you see computers and cars in the Bible? Where do you see stuff like that in the Bible? You better start walking and get off the internet because it ain't in the Bible. Get off of it. I'm just saying, if that's your theory and that's what you're sticking to, fine. But you better be willing to open that whole pot up because you know you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So don't be afraid to experience our Savior, to experience God and all that He has, to use our imagination to further your relationship with God, to take the word, the pages in the Bible and make them, not make them a person of the Bible, but to experience Him, to take what you've read for so long, because there is a purpose for it. I mean, you think, you think of Moses in the Bible and so many others, that had to go through a certain period of time in their life to be refined, to adjust and allow their hearts to be opened up to these things. So everything that we've done up to this point in furthering our understanding of God is good and it's useful. The saying is, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so you don't let the baby go down the drain. You don't do that. You say, okay, here's where I am. Poof. The great light, understanding, and revelation of God has come upon me. So rather than just forsake and say, okay, that's all bad because now I know this, that's silliness. But to say, okay, Lord, here I am, and how do I take where I've been and who I am now to get what you're showing me to go where I need to go and work it all together? Because that's where we're at. That's where we're at as a body. We got to learn to work it all together. So then with all that said, I think that it would be okay to do a little something right now. Okay? So I'm not the only weirdo here. Okay, now I want to say this, that the Bible is very clear in several of the scriptures, but Ephesians 6 and 2 Corinthians 10 is very clear that there's a war, okay? There's a battle that's going on. It describes it in the unseen realm. And that battle is for your attention. That battle is really for your attention. It's for you. And so I want to make aware that that anytime you want to go deeper, well, in anything, but we're talking about in the Lord right now. Anytime you want to go deeper and further your relationship with the Lord, it's going to take purpose. It's going to take, well, we said desire, but with that desire, you've got a purpose, and don't just hope that it happens. And so understand that the enemy, I know, loves to try to distract and try to take away from what you're experiencing or about to. You know, for 3 weeks, the men and then the women and then the youth stood up here and gave testimonies about different things. And on two of those weeks, one thing that I said as the Lord led me was, don't allow Satan to take what you've just heard and to reason it away. Don't allow their testimony of what they experience as reality. You couldn't take it from them. It's reality. Don't allow that, what's meant for you to expand your growth, don't allow that to be stolen from you. And don't try to reason it away or deny it because you don't understand it. Because a lot of things will happen that you don't understand. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, that's all you need in the moment. It is. There's a lot of things that will happen that we won't understand. But if we can allow a relationship with Jesus to sustain us, it's going to be okay. It's really going to be okay. So all I want to do is this. It's very simple. How can it be so simple? That might even be the title. How can it be so simple? Close your eyes. We submit ourselves to you, Heavenly Father. We thank you that your hand is over us and that your angels are with us. Our hearts are yours. We just open ourselves up to you. If you could just tell them, I open myself up to you, Lord. In your heart or out loud, which means probably most of you will do it in your heart, but that's okay. I open myself up to you, Lord. And all I want you to do in this moment, very simple, is just to picture Jesus. Whether it's a picture like on a TV screen or an understanding that he's right there or the way you perceive it, it doesn't have to be a picture, but the terminology is just picture him. He's right there with you. Just picture Jesus. Very simple. and he's looking at you, and he has this to tell you. I love you. And he says it over and over and over. Matter of fact, that's all he wants to say is, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. Just picture him repeating that to you over and over and over. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. So Lord, we thank you for your love. Jesus, you are welcome to have dominion in our hearts. We thank you for your love. I ask that you, as you have been, would continue to help prepare us in this shift to make everything that we've known about you up until this point become reality, become experience. That we would take our relationship, what we do and don't understand, and would carry that would carry us through into deeper realms of you. I know you reside within our hearts. Come alive within us and begin to show us. I believe he's going to begin to show us new ways, new giftings, new times of intimacy that we can experience and relate and be led by him. And so we receive that today. This is the door open, a door that is visible within our hearts. And we thank you for pouring the outpouring of your love, for loving us, because we know life has, quite honestly, beat us up at times. But thank you for sharing your love with us in person today, in our hearts, and we thank you. Just tell them thank you, and amen. So, I don't know what happened with you, but my encouragement to you is to experience him. Purposely dig out scripture that points to him, that is an action, and go deeper into him with it. Use it as a catalyst, a catapult, a door, how it's described in the word. Use him, your relationship with him, to go deeper. And come back next week and let's share testimonies. Let's purpose to do it. It won't just happen. Oh, well, okay, I take that back. He's God. So we know, Lord, that you can do whatever, whenever, however you desire. I understand that. But why don't we purpose, as God so loved the world that he gave, why don't we so love him that we give? Amen? Yeah. Amen. You got something to say?
That would have been a really loud and terrible noise. Yeah, he is. Thank goodness we have like the best sound man in the world. Give it up for Uncle Jay. Well, I call him Uncle Jay. You don't call him Uncle Jay. That's my name for him. And if you do it, I'll beat you up. I'm just kidding. It's our thing, okay? Jeez. So, yeah. What Josh was talking about, it's for me, it's been something that I've, I'm just going to be honest, I've been weirded out by it for a little while. But to be 100% honest, I perceive myself or see myself talking with Jesus all the time. And it's just getting our natural mind away from our spirit mind and applying the spirit that is inside of us and thinking and looking and living through that mind instead of our natural mind, because our carnal mind can't comprehend any of it. to be honest with you. Because why? Because our carnal mind is sin. That's at least how it is to me. Our carnal mind is of this world, and it's of the sin man. And of course, it's gonna battle, you know. And when we get out of that and we step into the spiritual realm, and we say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me? What is it that let's just hang out, let's just do this. When we closed our eyes and we imagined Jesus, I was sitting there and my carnal mind is like, okay, where is it? What do you look at it? And I'm like, no, just look. And I closed my eyes. I'm like, okay. And he's just standing there, just with me like a friend. And that's what I saw. But anyhow, Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are, Father God, and for the truth that you bring to us, Father God. And no matter how long we've been in you, Father God, I want to know you more, and I want to experience you in a new way, Father God. God, I want to breathe new breath every day in who you are, Father God. Lord, I pray that you will give us strength as we go through this week, Father God, and give us the ability to see through your eyes and not our own, Lord. And in your name, amen. So we have this clipboard. This is for the laundromat outreach for 31 women. And I know I am not a lady, but I'm going to talk about it real quick. We are providing laundry service to women in the community that might not be able to afford it. We need volunteers. Really, we need volunteers for the 4 to 5 time, because there's only one volunteer for that time. I didn't write my name down, but I will be there from the 4 to 5 time, just as the dude to be there, whatever. But we need some people. It's a great way just to reach people in our valley and to touch them and say, you know what, God loves you. Here's some quarters. Have some clean clothes. I mean, you know, it says in his word, you know, when you do this to the least of me. And that's what it's all about. It's reaching the people that may not ever experience the love of Christ, that may not ever have somebody say, you know what, God loves you, Jesus loves you, whatever, or smile at him, what have you. So anyways, this is going to be up here. If you would like to sign up, if you feel like the Lord wants you to help out with that, please do that. Keep my mom in your prayers this week as she continues to recover. Keep my dad in your prayers as he continues to take care of her, that he can keep the house in line. And anyhow, so thank you. Everybody have a good week. And absolutely. Hold on, everybody. Freeze. Don't move.
I just want to share this with you guys real quick. You guys. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Larie Tellett. I've shared with you that God brought us back from Squim to take care of my mom and my grandmother. And Vicky, God bless her, has given me a couple of her clients. And I just had to share this about when Josh asked us to imagine Jesus. I have the hardest time with that because the devil uses, yeah, I'm not worthy. Well, I know that's not true, and I tell him to go away. But when I did it this time, it was so cool because who I saw is he placed the three people that Vicky gave me to take care of, besides my mom and my grandma, at Sun Towers. And the other day, the man I take care of, I expressed that I was sorry, you know, that I couldn't always do what he needs. And he's like, but you're there when I need you. He's like, if I call you, you come. And to me, and I saw Jesus speaking through him. And here's a silly thing, but it touched me, is Josh is saying, you know, to imagine. So ever since Vicky gave me these people, I use quarters to do their laundry. And I have looked and looked and looked. And I'm like, I want a cute little coin purse to carry the quarters in. Well, I could go to the store and buy one. Could never find one. My husband looked. I mean, I've looked. Well, yesterday, Vicky blessed me with taking care of this lady. Her name's Edna. She's 102. She takes one pill, and she's amazing. She's this tall, and I'm there at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays to do her laundry, and she hugged me, And I'm like, you know, she's like, I just appreciate you. And I'm like, really, I love you. And I give her a hug. And she gave me this coin purse. And she said she had one that she cherished that was her mother's. And she says, you know, and she gave it to me. And all I could see was, really, God, I love you. So I just wanted to share. It's not a Lamborghini, but it's. You know, but it is probably about 70 years old. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Amen. Have a good week.